Welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know, uphold, and proclaim with our lives that the Lord Jesus gave us three commands, summing up all of the Scripture and then taking that out into this world. We go loving God, loving others, and going with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that all who would see us may know the Lord our Savior and the life that carries us into this world. Can I get an amen, church? God is an awesome God. This past week, I got a phone call. I guess it was Friday. It was probably about 11:30. And I wasn't home, so I called the gentleman back. It was about 2:30 when I called him back. And the first thing he said to me was, "Did you feel the earthquake?" And I was just like, "What earthquake?" He said, "Didn't you feel that?" I said, "My house shakes all the time." I said, "Do you understand? I live 6 miles from Fort Indian Town Gap. And they're constantly shooting, and at my house, my windows shake." I said, "We could have an earthquake, and I would have no idea. I'd just think it was Fort Indian Town Gap shooting stuff off." "Oh, no." He says, "Man, my house shook, and, you know, they felt it all the way in New York." And I'm like, "Wow, that's awesome. I had no idea." But it was a 4.8 on the Richter scale. And guess where the epicenter was? In Lebanon, New Jersey. I knew that would get you, but that came right off of the news feed. The epicenter was closest to a little town called Lebanon, New Jersey, not Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Because if it would have happened here and I didn't feel it, something's wrong. But anyhow, I see that, and it simply reinforces what I've been researching for the past several weeks. Looking at signs and wonders, we are to have no fear, but to praise Him as we see these signs and wonders working themselves out in our lives. How many of you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Tomorrow is April 8th. Tomorrow we have a total solar eclipse. And as we think about what that total solar eclipse means, we need to actually think back and see what this all transpires. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, there are going to be some folks out there on the internet, and there may be some here who are going to say, "Pastor, why are you speaking about a solar eclipse? Isn't that something, science has explained that, we know these things are coming, they can predict them years in advance." Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you can hang the sun and the moon and all the stars? Not one of you. Because God put these things out there, and it's also one of the reasons that He confused our languages at the Tower of Babel. Because if we'd have kept on, we'd have been able to explain everything, and we would have had no need for God. But the reality is we all need God all the time. But our sin is so steeped that we will dismiss God through science. But I'm here to tell you, science proves just how great God is. And when we understand that sun, that moon, and everything that falls in line has to happen in just a certain way for this stuff to happen, that speaks of just how great our God is. Because there's nowhere else in the universe that you are going to see this eclipse. You must be on Earth, and you must be within the path of it. Okay? All the stars that are out there, and I think it's funny because this is really where we are. All the stars that are out there, the constellations that they make, do you know if you go to Mars, those constellations don't exist? If you go to Venus, those constellations don't exist. What? Because of your perspective to the sun and the stars, you do not see what you see on Earth. You only see these things from Earth. Why Earth? Because it's all focused towards us. We need to remember our God has put all this stuff in place. Now you're all thinking, well, Pastor, now you're getting into things here that we really shouldn't be getting into. Well, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. You can't get any closer to God than the beginning. Can I get amen? And in chapter 1, I want you to turn to verse 14. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in the 14th verse, thus saith the word of the Lord. Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Now, we look back there where we began in verse 14. It says that these things were given for a reason. The sun and the moon and the stars were put there for a reason. What is God's reason? It says, let them be for signs and for seasons. So it's not just for light to guide us. It is for signs and for seasons. Now, when we think about what this means, when we say seasons, you know, most of us think winter, spring, summer, and fall. Amen? Well, that's not the case. The seasons that God is speaking of comes to us from the Hebrew word moedim. Moedim. And that word means the feasts of God. God's appointed feast, the Passover, the Atonement, the Feast of Trumpets. All these things are laid out in the sky that they happen at certain appointed times, and that's what they're there for, to show us God's calendar. And guess what? God's calendar works by the moon, not the sun. It works by the lesser light because that's how he designed it. However, the pagan nations looked after the sun, S-U-N, because God knew he was sending his son, S-O-N, into the world. And we look to that sun. The peoples look to the sun. Our calendar, the Greco-Roman calendar, is based on what? The sun. So when we think about, okay, so what are the signs for then? The signs are leot. Okay, that's the Hebrew word leot. They are a signal. They are a flag, an omen, an evidence, a mark, a prophetic message. That's what that word means. So we have the leot and the moedim. Well, the moedim, as I said, is for Israel. And since we're Gentiles, I think God wants us to pay attention to the leot. Wouldn't you agree? Because we are outside of his chosen race. The chosen race are the Hebrews. However, we get ingrafted into the Hebrews as we believe in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen, church? So when we think about what's going on and how God uses the moon to guide his people, the Hebrews, and he uses the sun to speak to nations, we can then begin to understand that God does want us to see and understand that as these planets move, as these stars move, as the sun moves, as the moon moves, there are messages that are being given to each and every one of us. Now, some of you out there are going to say, but Pastor, you're talking about astrology. No, I'm not. Astrology is a pagan belief in false deities. When we think about what the names of our planets are and what they represent false gods. When we think of the zodiac And what they've turned that into, that is all about fortune telling. It's witchcraft. It's demonic. But when we think about what God has placed in the stars, what God has brought about through astronomy, how did the three wise men, how did the wise men know when to come to seek Jesus at his birth? Through the star that was in the heavens. The very people who were looking for their Messiah were not looking for the astronomical signs. Okay? That's astronomy. That's how we can tell when when this eclipse is going to happen. Because we can see into the future now in some ways. Because we can see the paths that these things take. And we can predict when these things are going to happen. Years ago, they could not do that. And these things would catch them by surprise. But God knew we would be able to tell it. Now, does that make it any less God? No. In fact, it makes it more God. Because in order for these things to happen, how many of you understand the moon, or the sun, excuse me, is 400 times larger than the sun? The moon, or the sun, is 400 times larger than the moon. I'll get that right, okay? The sun is 400 times larger than the moon. However, the distance from the sun to the earth and the moon to the earth, the distance to the sun is 400 times greater. So it forms a perfect union. Because of its size and distance, when the moon is in perigee, it makes a complete and total eclipse. So how precise was the moon and the sun placed to earth? I don't think any of us could do that if we tried. We need to understand God's hand, God's fingerprint is all over everything in the universe. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. From Psalms 19, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Psalms 19. We are going to read from verses 1 through 4. I will wait to let some of you, I see pages still flipping. From the first verse of Psalms 19. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterance to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun. When you and I look at these words, when we look at what he says there, it pours forth speech. What speech is being poured forth? Now, I want you to understand something. In the heavenlies, there are many voices. However, there's one word. Okay? What word? The word of God. And the word of God says that it is pouring forth speech. God is speaking to us through the sun and the moon and the stars. So you and I need to be paying attention to what is coming upon this earth, what we are seeing. Jesus said, how many times, let him who has eyes see and ears hear. But we have been so wonderfully educated that we have taken all of the truth of God and thrown it aside and relegated it to the closet of faith. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the closet of faith is not a closet. It's the main hall of your life, or it's nothing at all. Because if you do not live by faith in Jesus Christ, you're already dead. And that's where they want you, dead and in the dark. God wants us to be illuminated by the very things that he has placed in this universe to show us that he exists. Can I prove that? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We're going to begin in the 18th verse. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now, I'm laying the foundation here before I get into any of this because I need you all to see. Pastor isn't out here on la-la land. I haven't lost it. I have found it in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen, church? And I understand what's going on, and I want us to understand God is definitely talking to the church. From verse 18 in Romans chapter 1, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so they are without excuse." We try to explain away God through science. And the reality is, science proves there is a God. But because we, mankind, want to be God, we dismiss this fact and say, oh, it's just coincidence. There are absolutely no coincidence in life. There are preordained meetings. God knows from the beginning to the end, from the end to the beginning. There is nothing that surprises God. So for us to look at the sun and the moon and say, oh yeah, well, we knew this was going to happen. Good. So what are you going to do about it? What does it mean? How many people do you think are going to be here in the United States looking at the moon and the sun on Monday? They're all going to be out there with their special little glasses on. And I'm going to be driving to North Carolina because I'm not going to be oogling ogling. I know God's doing something and he's talking to all of us. So I'm going to be about the work that I'm supposed to be about, and I'm going down to a meeting with a whole bunch of other pastors concerning the Evangelical Association and how we're going to bring this thing into the world and continue moving the context of the kingdom within the churches of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? But how many people are going to take off work and stop their lives for however long and party and get drunk and fall down and not see it anyhow? It's where our world is. And it's frustrating as a pastor. But at the same time, we need to understand something is happening. Something awesome, something great, something wonderful. So what is it? So, Pastor, we have an eclipse happening. What does that mean? Well, folks, I need to tell you something. Now, let's see if I can get this thing to work, Ryan. Here it is. It ain't just one eclipse. It's three. You see, we're all looking at this one right here. It goes from here. Or, excuse me. Yeah, that's the right one. No, it's this one. Goes from here up. Whew. Okay, man, I'll get it right. I got this in my brain. I'm just not thinking right. That's the 2014. That's the 2024 eclipse. But there was one in 2017 that went from Oregon all the way across and came out over here in South Carolina. That was in 2017. But in 2023, there was another eclipse that came also from that very same corner all the way down across Texas. Now, I want you to see something. This one and this one, both were only in the United States. The other one crosses Mexico and parts of Canada. So what's so special about this thing? I look at that and what do you see? Well, I have no idea. Well, I want you to see. These two are total eclipses. Total solar eclipses. And they form an X over the United States from 2017 to now. 2017 to 2024, how many years is that? 7 years. I think that's the number of God, isn't it? Number of perfection. How many of you also realize it was 7 years ago that the sign of the Virgin giving birth was also in the sky? That was 7 years ago. That's a coincidence, isn't it? But you see, God sees something else. You and I look at that and we see an X. Some of us as Christians, we're going to say, oh, he's making a cross. I need to ask you a question. God speaks, when we look, God speaks in many different languages. But what's the original language he spoke in? Hebrew. Paleo-Hebrew. And if you look right there, do you see that? That is the Paleo-Hebrew letter, Tav. Tav is the last letter in the Hebraic alphabet. The last letter in the Hebraic alphabet. Now, I also want you to realize it has a numerical value. Now, the sun is 400 times the diameter of the moon. The distance of the sun to the earth is 400 times greater than the distance to the moon. What do you think the number of the numerical value of Tav is? Yeah, you got it, sis. It's 400. That's just a coinkydink. But you see, that's not the only thing that we see. As I said, David would look at this. Moses would look at this. All of our patriarchs in the Old Testament would look at this, and they would know what that is. That's not just X marks the spot. That's Tav. That's the last letter of the alphabet. It also means the mark or the covenant. That's cool. But remember, there's more to this picture. Because we have all of this going on. You know, it's not just the X, but it's this whole thing. What does that show us? What does that bring to us? Well, if you look at it as David would look at it, and Moses would look at it, and Jeremiah would look at it, and Isaiah would look at it, what you see is the very first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the letter Aleph. What does that give us? What is God saying? He is saying, I give you the first and the last. Who is the first and the last? Jesus Christ. God is literally writing the name of his Son across this United States. You see, we think that we are the last bastion of freedom in the world. How corrupt has our government become? We all know it. We all know it. All we have to do is open our eyes to see where this stuff is. And I know I've got a lot of people out there who are saying, oh, you know, they're going to come against this pastor for saying the truth, but the reality is we all know it. In the last several years, how many of your eyes have been open to just how corrupt this government is? Sending billions and billions of dollars overseas only to have it come back to them through people like... Stop, Rich. I can get down a rabbit trail, and I don't want to get down a rabbit trail. What I want us to see is God is telling us something. What is God telling us? He's telling us that the Alpha and the Omega is coming. And we all know the Alpha and the Omega is coming. We all know the Alpha and the Tav is coming, the first and the last. He is on his way. He is talking to the church, but he's also talking to the people of the United States to start getting things right. He's also talking to the world because, again, the world looks at what happens in the United States because it affects the entire world. Because we have taken so much control in this world that we have usurped that authority and put countries under for our own needs. Have you ever realized that? I realized it a long time ago. So there is only one who brings freedom. Who is the king of freedom? Jesus Christ. For he sets us free. For if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. There is only one freedom from this world, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Can I get an amen and praise the Lord? When you and I start looking at what's going on and see that Jesus is this first and the last, God is in effect writing, as I said, his Son's name across our nation. Do you think he's trying to get our attention? I know he's trying to get our attention. When we think about what he's doing and where things are going, I have to ask you this. You know, does Jesus say anything about these things? Does Jesus talk to it? You know, Pastor, you've shown us this stuff from the Old Testament and how from nature, but, you know, what does God say? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Again, I can't make this stuff up. I'm not that good. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you. And I don't mean that in a bad way. My wife, she's an honest woman. And she knows, you know, hey, pastor struggles with this stuff. Pastor has to deal with this stuff. This sermon took weeks. And I thank some other folks, and I'm going to thank them verbally here in just a little while. From Luke in chapter 21, beginning in verse 8. Beginning in verse 8, we're going to read through 11, and then we're going to jump to 25 to 28. Jesus spoke these words. He said, "See to it that you are not misled, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven." You and I are paying witness to these very things. Earthquakes, signs in the heavens, plagues, famines. And God goes on, verse 25. "There will be signs in the sun and moon and stars and on the earth, dismay among nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. Men fainting from fear and expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh." Again, we do not fear these things, but in them we praise him, because we see the fact that through his Son, Jesus Christ, he's foretold these things are coming. He's foretold the signs are going to be there. He's foretold all this stuff that we may know and live in confidence without fear, proclaiming the word of God, taking that into the street, and being the church of Jesus Christ. Coming to life, coming out of the darkness. And yes, I'm talking to people out there who have not given themselves to the Lord. And I'm also talking to people in the church who are playing games. It's over. We're in the end game. How long is it going to be? I have absolutely no idea. But I'll guarantee you this. We're a whole lot closer than when we first started. Can I get an amen? Folks, God moves planets, and it takes a little bit of time. We have no idea the day nor the hour, but we can see plainly through the signs that these things are coming. We have to ask ourselves then, if Jesus said all these things are going to happen, this different stuff is going to come, is there anything else happening in the skies or on the earth that, you know, are pointing to this thing? Well, we know how many wars are out there right now. You realize here in the United States, we're involved in three. We're involved in three wars right now. Possibly five, because we have no idea what's going to happen over in Taiwan or when. You know, it just so amazes me. We're seeing these wars all over the planet. We're seeing all this stuff. But is there anything else out there? Is there anything else in the sky telling us that there's something coming? Guess what else is in the sky the very same day? In fact, it's there now, but you'll actually be able to see it with a telescope during the eclipse. Yeah, it's a comet coming in. It's called 12P Pons Brooks. But as we all know, the people out there, you know, the astronomers, okay, they give these things human names. Look at the name. Look at what this comet is called. What's it called? The Devil's Comet. The Devil's Comet is in the sky at the exact same time that this eclipse is taking place. And guess what? All the planets are lined up in such a way that we are literally, all the other eight planets, they're all in a line, including the comet. Do you think God has things lined up? Do you think God's trying to talk to us? Do you need a little bit more proof? Well, I'll tell you what, there's also something else that's getting ready to happen. How many of you know what that is? Yeah, we know what it is here in the United States. It's not a locust. It's a cicada. Guess what happens this month? In fact, it's already started. There are two variants of the cicadas. It only happens once in every 221 years. And guess what happens to happen this April, right where these two eclipses cross? There will be trillions of 13-year and 17-year cicadas coming out. Now, no, that does not affect the world, but it affects us, doesn't it? And I think it's funny because I want you to think about that. You know, we look at that critter and it's like, man, that is nasty. Yeah, but what are we going to do when there's millions of them? Can you imagine living in southern Illinois all the way up through Illinois and that surrounding area where this massive crop of cicadas is coming? How are you going to sleep at night? How are you going to mow your lawn? Can you imagine walking down the street? Crunch, 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 crunch. Come on, we're seeing the pestilence. We just lived through a pestilence. It is out there, and we need to understand that God is bringing this stuff about. Why? Because God wants us to understand He is in control. All this stuff is happening so that the world may know. And I don't want you to fear. Do not be afraid of these things. You and I know that Jesus wins. Can I get an amen? So what is the hope in all of this? If God's putting this big X over the United States, the Tav, which is the last, and if He is, and we know He is, the Aleph, the first, He is the first, He is the last, the beginning and the end. So what is the hope? Why is He doing this? What is His call? I tell you, I tell you, I tell you. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John. Chapter 14, the book of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, beginning in the first verse. John chapter 14, beginning in the first verse. Again, what does God say to us? And the Lord Jesus Christ says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Can I get an hallelujah, church? So what's the last thing I want to leave you with? Actually, it's two. This eclipse, because we now have the ability to track these things and lay them out, the very X that it creates lands on one road in Illinois in the middle of a state forest. Do you see what the name of that road is? Salem Road. What does the word Salem mean in Hebrew? Peace. Who is our peace? Jesus Christ is our peace. Jesus said, I am the way. He is the way of peace. He is the road of peace. Can you see he's trying to get our attention? You need to be on this road. And it's a short road. He's getting our attention, people. He loves you. He's loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever so shall believe in him shall be saved. He's talking to the world. He's talking to the people of the United States. He's talking to the government leaders and the powers of darkness. Remember, we fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against powers and principalities. And how do we know that they fight against powers and principalities? Well, brothers and sisters, the last thing I want to leave you with is one of the most powerful. And that is, Jesus said to us, beg pardon? Oh, I thought you said something. One of the things that I need us to understand is what Jesus said to us as I finish. He said to us that the vultures would gather. How many of you remember that? That where the dead corpse is, the vultures will gather. He's talking about the United States. We are but a dead corpse. Our government is on the way out. Our money is on the way out. We are about to become a third world nation. If you don't believe that, I'm telling you right now, you better open your eyes and look around. What I want you to understand is in the very center of this thing where this little road is, there's a town right next to it. The town is called, and I got to get the name of it, and I got to go through my notes. The town is called Maconda. Maconda, Illinois. Guess what they have at Maconda, Illinois? It's called the Black Vulture Festival because the black vultures gather there every year. The closest town is Maconda that has the Black Vulture Festival. Is God speaking to us? Death or life? Which road will you choose? I pray we choose wisely because the time is short. But either way, we will choose. So today, if you're going to choose Christ, I want you to pray with me and pray now. Father God, we come before you. And Lord, your word tells us that we need to repent. And Lord, even those of us who are in you, we need to come and yet again repent. Repent of our doubt. Repent of our arrogance. Repent of all that we have forsaken. And come back to our first love. And Father, for those who are out there and want to know you, want to be found on Salem Road, on that way of peace, may they know just to call upon your name and speak the words, Lord Jesus, forgive me, for I have sinned. Restore me and guide me unto all things, that we may know and be your children, Father, for those who have prayed these prayers, I give thanks. And I ask, Lord, that you would guide us into these weeks, months, however much time there is left, that we would truly be the church of Jesus Christ, to shed off the shackles of this world and to run with perseverance the race set out before us, that we may finish and receive the victor's crown. In Jesus' holy name. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA, 17083.